Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're joined by Phyllis Bridges now from TWU. Phyllis, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the chance to visit with you.
Absolutely. It is amazing the time that we're living in. You never know when you're going to be living through a time that historians are going to want to look back at someday. What project has Texas Woman's University started with that in mind?
We're working on a project to collect materials from citizens everywhere in Texas and outside Texas, from academics and people in other lines of work. We feel it is a part of our mission and our purpose as a university to gather knowledge and make it available for other persons. We're in an unprecedented time of public health and economic crisis, and we wanted to gather the comments and reflections and even the creative pieces of persons who are going through this event with us. Of course, it is worldwide. We are in a dangerous period of time, and you can see from the news that you're covering and that other outlets are covering that there's great concern even about the restarting of school, the restarting of businesses, the financial hardship this brings, the academic setback it would be for young children and even older students not to have access to their labs and classrooms and so on. So it's an extremely complex time. Most of the education leaders are doing their best to try to weigh out the consequences and make the best judgments they can. Parents are certainly concerned about the safety of their children, not just going to school, but going anywhere. And all the sports teams are having to weigh this. It's just had a tremendous impact on all aspects of the culture. So we know that there are issues that people think about and issues that they're concerned about, and we want them to record those and send them to us. We're going to archive them and make a vast collection of materials from citizens, and people can send us the material online. We're accepting all formats. We're taking videos, audio recordings, diaries, journals, personal narratives, even creative work. We've received already some photographs, paintings, poems. One of my students happened to be living in San Francisco this past semester of this summer. She went out there to take a job, and then the job didn't materialize because of the pandemic. So she started doing some freelance work. And each day she writes a poem, and she's contributing those poems to this collection. Other people would want to contribute poetry or drama or short stories, however they may relate. And we have already received some contributions from elementary school children. Just yesterday I found out about a physician whose practice is in taking care of persons that are in elder care. And he's lost many of his elder patients through this virus. And I hope to do an interview with him or get him to write a narrative up for us. So we're interested in the commentaries and reflections of people from all realms of life. They can be short or long. We're beginning now to accept the contributions, so we're gathering those right now. We hope over time to have some displays in public arenas like museums or libraries or other areas which have displays. Maybe the schools would like to borrow some of our materials and put up displays when people can gather again in public and see what ordinary citizens had to say about the situation we're in. We'd also be glad to receive contributions from policymakers if they have the time to write to us. We'd love to have what they're weighing and considering as they make their judgments. Our group decided that we would like to name the collection after our president and chancellor, Dr. Corrine Fayton. Dr. Fayton has been a very courageous and compassionate leader for our school and for all of higher education through this experience. And she's tried to chart the way for the best of the available options for us to have both online instruction and in-person instruction. Of course, everybody would like to see the return to a normal schedule. May not be something we can do immediately, but certainly over time. Everybody in every line of work wants to get things back to the old normal instead of the new normal. But as we collect these materials, it will be a reflection of this moment in history, this time that the world is going through, and we all hope for that day when our scientists and medical people, with their great knowledge and experimentation, can bring us the vaccine that will relieve people of this pandemic. But we all understand from what's gone on since early March, that's not going to happen immediately. It's not an instant thing. But they're working daily, round the clock, I know, in those labs to try to get relief for the people. And we want to continue this collection until that day comes and then even record the joys people feel when at last we can be relieved of this burden. We have at our school already some other earlier collections. We have materials particularly from World War II, and the women pilots who were a part of the war effort and how they finally got the recognition they deserve. So we are well prepared to be an archival resource for people. And we do invite any citizen, anyone who listens to your broadcast or who's involved in any way with your work, to contribute to us.
How did you come up with collectively an idea to start this collection, and why do you feel that it's so important?
Well, we've had a wonderful team working together. TW has on its campus the Jane Nelson Institute for Women's Leadership, and they had some funding, so they were able to give us a grant to start this program, and they are going to maintain it with us, and they've been our partners in it. They're certainly interested in learning about how women record their experiences, how they have coped with the challenges that have been presented. And we've had some grants available through that Institute for Women in Business, and that's been a very successful program. Some women-owned businesses have been saved by those grants that could be made over there. So the leadership of that institute wanted to partner with us, and the library was interested in doing it. The Special Collections Division has other archival materials. And when I talked to them, they were definitely interested in coming aboard. And then we have some experts from the faculty. We have Dr. Kate Landeck in our group, who has done extensive work in collecting materials, particularly from the women pilots of World War II. But she already had her class doing in American history, doing a project, and some of the other faculty members had their students writing up projects about the pandemic. When we had to close the campus in March, that, of course, was very difficult for students. They had to move back home or move in with a relative or move in with a friend, and they missed the on-campus experience. And all of a sudden, they were thrown into a situation where they had to find housing and get meal service and keep their studies going. So it was kind of a traumatic time for them. And many of the faculty were interested in giving them an opportunity to express themselves about that. So we have some personal narratives that the students have written, and many of them want to contribute those to the collection. And the dean of the graduate school, Dr. Claire Celine, was interested in the project. She's an expert in women's studies and built our program in women's studies at TWU and now oversees all of the graduate programs. So she was interested in coming on in a partnership with us. So we were very happy to have her. Shannon Montero, who's in charge of our Women in Business leadership, was interested in volunteering and working with us. So we have her expertise and availability. So we've had this six-member team that's sort of the working group to work on it. And when we got our plan together, we asked the permission of the chancellor to launch this. She was excited about it, felt it should be done, and readily agreed to it and appointed us to be the working committee. So we've enjoyed working together on it, and we're now expanding. Other people are coming along to say, I'd like to work on it with you. One of those groups would be the marketing and communications staff at TWU because they're interested in outreach. I'm sure that you got your contact from our staff in marketing communications so that you'd be aware of it, and other persons in the public could be aware of it. So we want to cast a broad net to welcome everybody's contributions and whatever line of work they're in whatever format they want to share it. So it's going to be an ongoing project, and those are the main people who have given the expertise to get it started. And then our working group decided that we would like to honor our chancellor for her support and her leadership of the campus through this time by asking the Board of Regents to designate the collection in her honor, and they have agreed to that. I believe they'll have a public recognition of her at the next board meeting. Unfortunately, that meeting will have to be on Zoom or Google Meets or some other format because they can't gather in person, as you know, we have all these restrictions on all kinds of meetings. But they'll honor her in a way, and she's a very humble person, would never seek recognition, but we know she deserves it, so we're very happy to have her name associated with it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.